good evening and welcome to Steadfast. I am so glad to be with you on this first Monday of Advent, day we also call Cyber Monday. Maybe with the snow in the St. Louis area, some of you were actually shopping online today on that busiest shopping day of the year, looking for that special deal, that bargain that just has someone's name on it. Perfect gift. Always like finding the deals, finding the outlet stores and clearance sections. Not just because they're great deals, but often I run into things I didn't even know existed or I'd forgotten long about, and there it is, and it's just, this is perfect. Whether it's for a gift or just something I decide to toy with myself. And that brings me to a particular thing I found years ago, 6, 7, 8 years ago. It was from a company called Quirky, which was an idea incubator. People who had nifty ideas could submit their idea, and Quirky would take the best and actually manufacture them and do a great job of it. And this particular thing, I'd seen it a few years before when Quirky first came out with it. It was a set of gauges you could put on your desk with little displays, and you could put the weather on it, stocks, how your computer was running. Maybe if you had a smart stove, you could even show what temperature things were cooking at. Whatever information was out there on the internet, you could put it on these gauges and keep track of it in a really nifty way. And it was exquisitely crafted, just fantastic. And there it was on clearance, and it just had my name on it. I knew this was going to be a perfect thing for something. I wasn't even sure exactly all that I could use it for, but I knew it would be useful. So I brought it home, unpacked it. It was just as I'd hoped. If I could have gotten several, I probably would have thought someone else would be a great gift. I'll get another one. But I was fortunate that there was only one, because no matter how much detail Quirky had put into this, no matter how great the features, there was a little problem. Quirky had gone into bankruptcy, and these gauges, they weren't able to go to the internet on their own. They had to go to Quirky's server, and Quirky would feed it all that information. And with Quirky on its way out, nearing the end of its life, the gauges quit working. I couldn't do anything. They were really nicely made. They're really neat. But even today, every once in a while, I'll go online and see if someone's figured out a way to hack into them and repurpose them now that Quirky's gone. And it just doesn't seem to happen. So there are these beautiful things that are made that don't do any good. Last night, we talked about creation and how creation speaks to Jesus. But one of the important questions I think we have when we think about creation, even if we can imagine it was exquisitely crafted, it was truly good, is in this broken world where it sort of feels like things have gone bankrupt, what do we do now? Is it a wonderful world? Are our lives wonderful lives that have no hope for the future because everything is shut down? Is that where we're at? In this new series, Spoken to Us, that we're going to be going through during Advent, we're going to think about what it means for Jesus to come into the world through a little different lens, through the lens of Hebrews chapter 1. And in that, the author of Hebrews is going to help us to understand how we can look at creation, and we can look at what God has done and have confidence that God is beautifully consistent. Would you pray with me as we start tonight? Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your love. Lord, as we come to your word, would you help us to understand? Would you help it to be applied to our hearts through your Holy Spirit, that we would feel the confidence that comes only through you? We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, is this world another Quirky? Maybe you have your favorite story about something like that. I'd love if you'd share it in the comments if you do, but we know those things happen. And we kind of wonder sometimes, has it expanded out to our experience in life? And you probably also know other people wondering that too. So please do give this a like or a share as we go through this study. If you do that right now, we can have more people joining in this important question. Let's go ahead and look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. That's where we're going to camp out tonight. And in it, you can see long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by prophets. God has spoken through history. This adds on to what we said last night about God speaking through creation, that creation was testifying to Jesus, because creation was a long time ago. What happened after that? Well, God's spoken through history as well. He doesn't just leave us to look at a beautiful creation and then walk away and leave us alone. No, God has been working time and again through history so that there's something more for us. Take a look again, Hebrews 1:1. Long ago and at many times, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. God has spoken to us over and over and over again. That's what the author of Hebrews wants us to understand. This is not a one-time thing. It's something that's happened again and again. Now, the author of Hebrews, we don't know necessarily who he is. Lots of speculation there. Traditionally, people would say Paul, but the letter never claims it, and it's in a very different style. I like to think, and for another night we'll get into this further, that it was Barnabas. Fitz Barnabas, I believe. But whomever it is, whichever early disciple it was, we know it was someone who was writing to people who understood what was going on in the Old Testament. They knew that God had spoken in many ways, but he wants to remind them of that and say, what we're going to talk about Jesus coming into the world, it ties into everything that's been happening over and over and over again through the ages. That is still a part of it. So the starting point here isn't whether God speaks. He assumes, of course, God speaks, but he wants to talk about how God speaks and how he continues to speak. And that we care about what happened in the Old Testament, even as we talk about this new testimony, this new beginning that we spoke of last night in the Gospel of Mark, because it tells us about God's consistency over time, that he has been speaking over and over and over again. That's so important. We need to hold that and not just move on from that and forget that it happened. God has spoken time and again. So that's the starting point. Now, maybe you say, I'm not sure God speaks at all. And that's a worthy question. I'd love to speak through that question with you. But just briefly, because that's not really what the author of Hebrews is trying to deal with. He's assuming that's the case. We'll just say, if we look at creation and we think about the beauty of it, that's a first speech of God. And if you believe there is a God, and I pray that you do, and I pray that even tonight as we're talking, that if you don't, that God would nudge you towards that belief. Well, that's a first sort of speech. But then what the Bible challenges us, and this is where I'd really encourage you to go if you're trying to figure out if God speaks, is look at the Old Testament, look at the prophets, and look how consistently they speak, how it ties together. And then some of the incredible things, like how Isaiah speaks of what's to come with the return from the exile. We spoke about that last night as well. You look at all those things and there's a very good case to be made that God does speak. And that's where we pick up here, that God does speak, that we can look at Hebrews 1 and know that he speaks. But now, where do we go from there? Well, he spoke through creation. He spoke through a burning bush. He spoke through various other means, angels and so on. And then later on, as we go through the Bible, I just mentioned Isaiah, we see all the prophets, and they kind of bring this to a finer point. Right? God might do something big. God might bring judgment. But now there were these prophets that went into great detail explaining what God had to say. And so they bring that speech to a very fine point after sometimes people had dreams and visions and other things that took some time to figure out. Prophets lay it out there. Here's what God cares about. Here's what he's going to do. And here's what we need to do to respond. The key thing, and this is the thing that we want to hold on to as we explore here, is that God is not a deistic God. That is, God isn't a God who's a clockmaker. He made this beautiful mechanical thing and then walked away. He isn't Quirky, who, not that they wanted to, but they made this beautiful set of gauges that I would still be using, and I would love to use them, but I can't because they never worked because Quirky went away and couldn't service it anymore. Even when we see brokenness in the world, what we're encouraged to do is look at God's word. And what does he say? I'm going to make it new. He hasn't forgotten. He hasn't abandoned it. He hasn't moved on to a new model and downgraded us to end of life. And he's not going to support us any longer. He doesn't do that. But here's another really important thing, because it'd be fine even if God speaks at certain intervals. Okay, He spoke at creation by creating the world. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Moses. He spoke through a few prophets like Isaiah. And, Okay, maybe even we'll say he spoke when Jesus came, but what about the rest of history? Well, by listing this out as the author of Hebrews does, what he wants us to understand is that God speaks consistently. It's not just something on occasion. The rest of the time, he doesn't care either. This weekend, we had our first real snow of the year, and then today, we had even more snow. I was kind of surprised, actually, how much snow we got today. I kind of thought it would be one of those forecasts that we could just brush off. But notably, it was a different snow today, very dry snow. This weekend, a little bit of a wetter, mushier snow. And of course, it was snowing while it was above freezing. Today, it was below freezing all day. All these different things. Sometimes we get sleet, freezing rain. We get all this different sort, these different sorts of precipitation. Sometimes it melts and refreezes because it is warm. Sometimes it just stays as it came from the sky. But no matter how the snow falls, if it does fall, you know what? When you look outside, you see a beautiful snowscape. Doesn't really matter which of those things happen. If you look outside, it's still going to be this beautiful white blanket over the grass and in the trees. And even more so, we might find minor variations, right? Certain snow sticks to trees better or what have you. But if you think about it, when you actually get to the individual snowflakes and how they're composed, the ice crystals, they're all ice crystals. They're all H2O, water. They're frozen water, but they're still water. You won't find a snowflake that isn't water. What does that tell us? There's a consistency there. It looks different, right? Sometimes it's sleet, sometimes it's freezing rain, sometimes it's big hamster-sized flakes falling from the sky, as the famed St. Louis meteorologist Dave Murray likes to say. It could be all these different things, but still the same thing in the end. It's still frozen water, creating a beautiful snow blanket. What the author of Hebrews wants us to understand is, yes, God spoke one way through creation. He spoke, say, to Joseph a different way through dreams and visions. He spoke to the prophets differently. And he spoke profoundly differently in style by coming into the world in the flesh in Jesus. But in all that, it was always God's truth that was coming. And so there's a consistency, even if it sort of feels different, even if it appears quite different, there was a consistency that it was God, the same caring God, the same God that has love for you and for me, spoke each and every time. There's a beautiful consistency to that. God has spoken through the prophets. We can count on that, that it's God who's doing the speaking. It's God who's spoken through history. And as we'll dig further into as we go through this series, as we anticipate Christmas, God ultimately speaks in the flesh, but it's consistent. Now, I've been dancing around the prophets a little bit, and I want us to go back to Hebrews 1. Just think about this for a second longer. Long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. We do have those beautiful prophetic books, and they speak of what God is going to do. They speak of how God is going to rescue his people. Sometimes they do speak of judgment, but even that judgment, why? So that people can correct and turn and repent and believe and follow the Lord and have a relationship with him. So it's always about God's love. That's always underlying everything we see in the prophets. But the prophets' messages were also incomplete. Everything wasn't solved when Isaiah spoke. Everything wasn't solved when Ezekiel spoke, or when Elijah spoke, or Elisha, or Moses. Some things might change, but there were also future promises. And the prophet himself, he couldn't fix everything. The world was still broken. But what we're being set up for tonight is to understand, here's the shortcoming of what we can see that has happened through the prophets. Here's why we need something bigger, the thing that we're getting to, the mystery, the majesty of Christmas. We need something more. We need something more that's linked to what has been. It's not a separate thing. It's setting the stage for what is needed. It's still frozen water. It's just not the final form of frozen water we need to make things right. And the beautiful thing, and this is what we were talking about with the Gospel of Mark last night, is that Jesus comes and he both is the one who brings the message and he is the message. It's the gospel from Jesus and the gospel of Jesus. He's telling it, so it's the gospel from Jesus. But what's the good news of the gospel? That Jesus came and lived and suffered and died for us. That when we talk about Christmas and the miracle of the incarnation, that's all of what we're proclaiming. It'd be an amazing thing if this baby were born and this baby is God in the flesh. But if then a year later, he just vaporized out of the world and we never heard anything again, we wouldn't really have a reason to even talk about that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the God who came into the world and stayed in the world. His spirit is still with us. If you turn to Jesus tonight, his spirit will be with you. And so what started continues, and that continued consistency remains. It's a different way again, right? Jesus came. We can't go up and talk to Jesus in the flesh right now until he returns again, but his spirit is here, and the spirit of God, there's that same consistency of God's love today. And in the Word of God that we're studying, that same consistent presence. And that's what the author of Hebrews is getting to here. Everything that God does is tied together, and we can know that. And because it's tied together and he keeps working, and he's shown this pattern that he keeps working, that he doesn't abandon, we can have confidence. Another company I followed, I haven't bought anything from them because I couldn't afford it, but another company I followed that's gone through some financial troubles over the years and gone through a lot of uncertainty, sort of like Quirky, is Fisker Automotive. And maybe you saw their very early electric cars. They were one of the first companies to talk about electric cars. They're very sleek and impressive looking. And then before they really went too far, they went bankrupt and they went through different owners, and then they were going to be resurrected. They were coming back and going to offer this car. And indeed, they offered a crossover vehicle. I think it was last year or maybe the year before it came out. Got a lot of bad reviews, but people had been waiting for so long for a Fisker car. People were excited about this. People had pre-ordered it, and some sold. Obviously not enough, because Fisker went out of business again. But maybe you'll say, well, they went away, they came back, and they'll probably come back again. They'll just keep coming back. Maybe that's the case. But sort of like my Quirky gauges, modern cars, whatever type of engine they have an awful lot of computers in them. They talk to the car manufacturer all the time to find out about maintenance and do all kinds of stuff. You might say that's good or bad, but it's undeniable. That's just part of what a modern car does. And so what happens when the company goes bankrupt and you can't get a software update? Or even more simply, since every car now has different types of parts, what happens when you just need some of the basic maintenance items in the car and it's made especially for that car? Well, the people that did buy these cars, they're trying to figure out how to deal with that now. Because even if, say, 5 years or 10 years down the road, someone resurrects the brand again and they come up with another car, what does that mean for the people that had the previous car and the previous parts? Will they actually support those? And even if they do, we don't maintain our cars once every 5 or 10 years. You might need it today. You're not going to just set aside and go buy another car and say, well, you know, in a few years, I can work on this car. So people are trying to figure that out. And I can say this, if they do come back again, I think people will be even more hesitant to buy those cars because of that very problem. And maybe you feel hesitant to trust in the message of the gospel because you say, well, it looks like God comes at different points in history, but what about all the times in between? It doesn't matter if he comes back. What if I need something now? But the reason the author of Hebrews is pounding on this point of consistency is so that we understand, yes, God's spoken through various means and at various times, but he always speaks the same thing. And what we're going to see over these next weeks is the answer to the question of what about right now? What about right now? We live in the time of the Son. That's why we celebrate Christmas. And his spirit is with us. And we can count on that. And because we can count on that and know that, it's not like buying a car where the company comes back to life every so often. We don't just need something to come back. We need it to be consistently there. And what we find in Scripture is a God who's consistently there. Even when the people forget. That's the message of the prophets over and over again. If you do go back and look and you're saying, okay, I want to know about this Old Testament. Well, it's sometimes challenging to read through the prophets. There's a lot going on. But what do we see over and over again? People have turned away from the Lord. They've forgotten about him, but he hasn't forgotten about them. That's the beautiful thing here. Sure, God can do great things, but what about when I need him? What we see is time and again, he's always been there. And he promises to always be there. And that's the promise of Christmas, that God is there. Someone might bring back Fisker. Someone might bring back Kirkworky and say, we're here. But I wouldn't necessarily trust it. Certainly wouldn't want to put a lot of money into that or my life. With God, we see consistently over time, he has indeed been there. And so when something profoundly new happens at Christmas and everything changes thereafter, and there's this hope that we can believe in the gospel, the amazing thing about it is it's perfectly consistent with God's character. Yes, he did something revolutionary, magnificent, history-changing, the centerpiece of history at Christmas. And in the incarnation, in that time that God dwelt in the flesh on earth. But even though it's revolutionary, even though it is the moment in history, it's perfectly consistent with God's character every single moment of history. So when he says he's going to continue to work, that we can trust that he's there, history itself tells us that's God's character, and we can believe it today. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for this hope that we find in you, that you are the God who is there today and every day. And Lord, we do pray that you would help us to understand that more fully, that we wouldn't be those who live in fear that you might be away, that you might not come back, that you might not be there for us, but rather those who have confidence that you are always there because you always have been. And as we see that consistency in the prophets, then we see this amazing thing happen at Christmas. We see, yes, it's revolutionary, but it's actually perfectly consistent with everything you have done up to that point. And because of that, then the promises you give thereafter about being with us and giving us a hope of perfect restoration in the future, well, they're consistent with everything you've done too. Would you help us to hold on to that today? We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I hope this has been an encouragement to you tonight. And if it has, let me just ask, would you please give us a like and a share? People need to know what Christmas is really about. They're going to see all kinds of things, funny things, serious things. Here, go buy this stuff sort of things. Lots of things over Christmas. But what people really need is to know there's a consistent God who loves them, and that's what Christmas is about. And so if you would give this a like and a share, maybe even encourage someone, hey, if you're watching this, I'd love to talk about it with you and go through God's word with you. We can help share that consistency that God has with those around us who need to know, because we all do. Speaking of which, we get to explore the fullness of God's consistency at Christmas in our wonderful special Christmas event, O Christmas Faith Tree, that is this Friday. I hope that you'll join us, 7 p.m. It is in person and online, so either way, hope to see you there. And we're going to go through the whole story of salvation from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end, all in one vast sweep with lots of beautiful music. And this is one of the reasons I really hope that you'll come, because maybe you know someone who isn't super interested in the Bible but loves Christmas music. Invite them, because we're going to talk through what scripture says, but we're going to have the carols tell the story as we go. And so as we sing those beautiful Christmas songs we all love, it helps us to think about what they mean, where they're pointing us. It's a beautiful night. I hope that you'll join us. That we'll be live streaming once again this Friday on the Faith Tree Christian Fellowship YouTube and Facebook page. So hope to see you there. If you have any questions, any way I can be praying for you, you can always use our texting line or the comments below. The texting line, 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. Love to hear from you. I'd love to pray with you. And if you put it in the comments, we'd all love to join in together as a church family and pray for you. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed day. I'll see you again very soon.